What is up, you guys? Welcome back. This week, we've got episode 26 coming at you with some special guests, Kirk and Tammy Williams. They are such a fun couple. So Nathan's actually been working with Kirk. He's kind of like a business sales coach.
Kind of a business sales, leadership coach, life coach.
Super awesome guy. Mm-hmm. And Tammy is so fun. We had such a fun time recording this episode with them. We got to go and visit them in their home. And this episode is super fun because we talk about something that Kirk taught Nathan, which is this thing they call the hug and roll. It's just a listening technique. It's super fun.
No, it's super awesome. Once he told me about it, I was like, dang, this would be some really awesome like material for the podcast. We want to interview them and kind of have them teach about the hug and roll, a great, great skill to help you listen better, help you communicate better, and just help your relationship grow. And it's also awesome to hear from their story. Kind of, they've been married for a while. They have a couple kids now. So it's fun to hear about their story, how they got started, how they've been able to make their marriage last so long. And it's such a fun experience.
Yeah. So we hope you guys enjoy it. Without further ado, let's get started.
Welcome to the Marriage Prep Podcast. I'm Nathan Hooper.
And I'm Allie Hooper. In this podcast, we will give you all the resources that you need to go from dating or engaged to creating a lasting marriage that will bring you more happiness than you ever thought possible.
Here, we're going to interview experts and discuss important topics like how to know if your partner is right for you. We will provide you guys a list of questions and conversations that you need to be having to make sure you're both ready for marriage and on the same page.
We will even dive deep into topics like sexual intimacy, finances, how to have a fair fight, and a whole lot more to make sure you can step up to that altar with complete confidence.
So subscribe now and make sure you guys don't miss any episodes, and we'll see you in there. What is up, guys? Today, we are super excited to have Kirk and Tammy Williams here with us. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks. Great to be here, Tammy.
Yeah, it's cool to be here. We're excited to be able to be here.
No, so Kirk, I've actually been working with Kirk for a little while. I guess, would you say you're kind of like a life coach, Kirk, sales coach?
Yeah, somebody call me a life coach. Some people call me a life coach. Some people call me a sales or leadership coach. I also do small business development.
Yeah, so if anybody is looking for a coach, Kirk's available, right?
A few more people.
Well, I've had the opportunity to work with Kirk for the last couple months. It's been a super awesome experience. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring Kirk and Tammy on today was because one of the things that Kirk and I talked about was listening and how important listening was, whether it's in sales, it's in leadership, in a business setting. But also I thought about it in a marriage setting and how important that is. And so he taught this principle about called the hug and roll. So I wanted to bring him and Tammy on to talk about listening, the importance of listening, talk about this skill and kind of going from there. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. Well, Tammy and I are a little older than the average person that's probably listening to this. I'm about ready to retire. However, Tammy's a little younger than I am, right?
A few years.
Okay. Drop in the cradle, huh?
Yeah. And we've learned a lot of things over our life that's made a big difference. And I coach some of those things in my coaching process. And it's a great opportunity to share it because I think it's valuable information. And hug and roll is just one example
of
that.
Absolutely. And that's just something that Allie and I have like realized and just listening is maybe the most important like skill when it comes to like having a really successful and happy marriage, being able to like listen, understand each other, communicate effectively. And so I feel like if people can get listening down and you can become an expert at that and really listening with the intent to understand and to hear, it can just make a huge difference in them in marriages.
Yeah, listening is everything, wouldn't you say, Tammy?
I don't know if it's a quote, but Kirk will often say, when someone feels understood, they're more open to your influence. And that's always just really sunk deep in my heart, because when someone does listen to you and actually really try to understand, then you are more willing to be influenced. Mm.
Yeah. And that means influence in a good way, taking advantage of people.
Exactly.
Right.
But we want to have you guys kind of introduce yourselves. Tell us your story, how you guys met, how you knew that getting married is the right decision for both of you, that you knew they found the right person. Kind of tell us about that.
You want to start?
You go ahead.
Okay. We met at the great and wonderful BYU, Brigham Young University. I was actually a projectionist. And so I ran the movies at the Varsity Theater, and Tammy was one of the young ladies that sold candy at the, and popcorn outside the theater.
In our days, I was called a candy jar girl.
Yeah, that's right. And I walked out one day and because I hadn't eaten anything all day and I was running a movie. So I, well, there's nothing here but candy. So I went out to get a Snickers. And Tammy was working the candy jar. And I'd never seen her before. She's first time for her first day working there. And I walked up and I was impressed. And I tried talking to her, but she didn't say a whole lot to me. She was busy, I guess, learning the job. Is that what you're doing?
Nervous. I was nervous learning all the cash register and everything. So he was a nice guy, but I guess I didn't give him, he says I didn't give him the time
of day. Not a whole lot of attention. She sold me the Snickers though. As I was walking away, my first thought was, I could marry that girl. And I've never thought that ever before about anybody I met.
Did she give you a good deal on the Snickers or something? Or?
No, not really. It was she gave me the cold shoulder, but I always felt that, hey, you know, with time, you know, anybody might like me, you know. So I was going to head that direction, and we actually were good friends for about 6 months before we went on our first date.
Well, how did that friendship start? Did you like just keep getting Snickers?
Or? Yeah, I did. I bought a lot of Snickers.
Well, he actually became my boss hired him to be the supervisor. So he actually became the supervisor over all the candy jar girls. So that's how we started getting to know each other more, because he was actually like my boss.
Okay.
Well, that even made it rougher, because it's not like you date your boss.
Right.
Usually it doesn't go well. But we developed a really good friendship. And then finally, I really wanted to ask her out, but I decided maybe I ought to just make a bet. She chewed her fingernails. And so I says, if you'll stop chewing your nails for a month, I'll take you anywhere you want to go in Utah to eat. Anywhere. You name it, I'll take you there.
And I literally thought, if that's what I have to do, I bit my nails my whole life. Like, always bit my nails. It was like this nervous habit, I guess. You know, my sisters bit their nails, so I bit my nails. Anyway, so when Kirk said that to me at work, I was like, if that's what I have to do to get a date with this guy, then I'm going to do it. So I actually wrote that down in my journal. We did journals back in our days. So I wrote that down in my journal. Meanwhile, he's writing things down in his journal. So we have it, our whole little falling in love all written down.
Yeah, I thought after I did that and she said yes, I thought, oh, come on, that was dumb, because now I have to wait another month before I can go out with her. You know, so I thought, that's if she actually doesn't chew her nails.
Yeah.
And she did incredible. She didn't do it for a month. And I thought, wow, either she really wanted to break the habit or maybe she likes it.
Maybe. Yeah.
So then we at work, we opened up the yellow pages and I thought to myself, I want to choose the restaurant as far away as Provo as possible, so I can be with him for a long time. So we opened it up and chose Farmington, Utah. There was a German restaurant up there.
In a castle, old castle.
Oh, nice.
There. Yeah.
We drove up there and we had no idea what valet parking
was. Yeah, we didn't know what to do.
There was a sign that was VALET parking, and we both looked at each other and said, what is that?
If I'd have realized that meant the food was going to cost more, I probably wouldn't have stayed.
I didn't choose the restaurant for that reason. It was all about distance.
The distance.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that was our first date, and we dated from there for what?
Secretly. We dated secretly.
Yeah, we dated secretly.
Because he was the boss.
Right.
And I don't know how we got away with it. We'd never be able to with phones and technology nowadays. But we dated secretly until we were engaged.
We got engaged and put up a sign with our picture saying, guess who's engaged? Nobody would believe us.
Nobody believed us in the candy jar. They thought it was a joke.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So how did you guys know that, like, getting married was right? Like, how did you know Tammy was right? Tammy and Joe Kirk was right. Like, you know, what was the thing that made you know?
Well, I'd been dating for quite a while. I mean, I was 27 years old.
28.
Well, when we got married, I was 28, right?
And 3/4.
Well, a week after we got married, I turned 29. So. Oh. But we started dating in when I was 27. And I dated a lot. And I've been wanting to fall in love ever since I got home from my mission, or, you know, went to school. And I struggled. I'd get to know somebody and then I'd lose interest, and never happened with Tammy. Mm. from the very beginning. So I knew she was somebody I wanted to.
It took a little more convincing for me.
Yes.
I was young. I was 19 and I was not, you know, I wasn't just looking to get married. I wasn't not looking to get married, but I wasn't just looking to get married. So it took a little more convincing. And on one of our dates, he drew a paper and he could tell that I was concerned that we were getting serious. And in the corner of the paper, he said, "This is when we met," and up here is if we were going to get married. And then drew just a little bit into a little dot. And this is where we're at now. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm good. We're still not too serious, you know, in his mind.
Yeah.
So it took a little more time for me. He was really patient and in waiting for me to come around.
What do you feel like, Tammy, was finally the thing that made you realize, like, okay, I'm ready maybe personally, or I'm ready with this relationship to take this step? Like, what kind of changed for you that, or what made you feel ready?
I actually broke up with him, like, right before.
Okay, we're putting that out on the air.
I broke up with him, and because I was, again, the relationship had progressed, and I was, like, nervous and trying to think, oh, my gosh. And so I thought I broke with him, and he was amazing. He, like, took me up to my door and gave me a hug and said, "If I love you so much, and if I'm not the man that you want to marry, I want you to," he was just such a gentleman. He says, "I want you to find that man because I love you so much." And then I walked in the house. I still lived at home right across the street from BYU. And I just started crying, and my mom came running down the stairs and said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And I said, "I just broke up with Kirk." And I'll never forget what my mom said. She pulled away from me and said, "Why in the world would you do that?"
I love that woman.
And I said, "I just felt like it was the right thing to do." And so she was really sweet. And she said, "Follow that feeling. Follow that feeling if you got that from prayer." And so anyway, it was just a process for me. And we broke up for like 2 or 3 months. And then we slowly got back together. And he was just such a gentleman and such a kind, good man. I could tell him I wasn't going to let him get away.
Yeah.
I realized that he's who I wanted to marry. And the cool thing about that is we went to tell my parents that we were engaged. It was on Thanksgiving weekend. And my mom said, "I want to tell you something now." She says, "The first time I met Kirk, when I shook his hand, I was told that he was the man you were going to marry."
Wow. And
she could have saved me a lot of heartache.
But she said, "I wanted you to make that choice." She says, but now that you've made that choice, I can tell you, you know. So, yeah, my mom knew that, but she never told me that until after I had made the decision.
That's awesome. That's really cool because Allie and I actually,
we had a really similar experience. I felt we were dating and I felt really strongly. I didn't know why, but that I needed to break up with Nathan. And we broke up. It was only for a week and I was miserable the whole week. But we learned a lot and received answers that we were right for each other.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't that amazing how that happens? Because yeah. We were broke up for a little bit longer than you, more like 3 months. But when I was just left my school classes that day, I was so torn up. I'd seen Kirk at work. So, and you know, just seeing them hadn't seen each other for a couple of weeks. I went home and prayed, just my heartfelt prayer for a long time. I was on my knees for a long time. And then I all of a sudden just had this sweetest feeling. Well, I was literally told, "This is a good time for Kirk. And this is a good time for you."
Yeah.
So I think oftentimes we do learn so many things when we're hurting or searching.
And I knew, you know, I'd broken up with other people before, and I knew I couldn't come back like a puppy dog begging it just doesn't work. It makes things worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would try to stay away from her as completely as possible. I mean, I could set my schedule at work, so I would usually check out before she checked in. And
10
just
minutes before you check out.
Yeah.
So I'd look at the time card.
So I wanted to give her distance and freedom and not, you know.
Yeah, I definitely think for us, I mean, for me especially, like the distance that we had, just even the 1 week made a huge, huge difference for me personally. But I also want to hit on something too, because I feel like we've noticed, at least I've noticed a trend in a lot of the couples we've interviewed, is that like the friendship was kind of like the first starting point. For you guys, you had that 6 months, you kind of just became friends. What role do you feel like that has played for you guys in your marriage and kind of in getting married?
Yeah, you know, we've always talked about the fact that she's my best friend and I'm her best friend. That's always been the case. The first few years of marriage, first year of marriage was harder for me than anything, simply because I'd been on my own for so long.
Right. Kind of set in his ways. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. So that was the biggest change for me. And, but it wasn't all bliss like we think, oh, married and live happily ever after. It never works that way.
Oh, that leads into a really good story. Is we were, this was in our first year of marriage. And he, like he mentioned, I mean, he was 20, almost 29 when he married. And I was pretty young. And I had been raised in a family that me and my sisters now call kind of like a utopia, where it wasn't actually, it was almost too good. Mm. That you can't be too good though. But it was a home of lots of love. And we didn't have a lot of contention. So I get married, and I don't know if it was the first 3 months or 6 months, but we're having a disagreement. And I can remember where we were at in the hallway of this little apartment we were in. And I said to Kirk, why didn't you tell me you had a temper before I married you? And he said, why didn't you tell me you had a temper before I married you?
And her answer was really hit me hard. Mm. She says, I never had a temper before I married you.
It was just really heartfelt.
You know, and yeah. She said it with such honesty, we both cracked up laughing.
We both just sat there and then we started laughing. But
well, that's good.
Yeah.
How do we lead on to that story?
I don't know.
I think it's a good story.
Just like, yeah.
Because, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of changes that happen in the first year. There's a lot of things you're going to be learning about each other. And just some, you know, it's not all going to be just like sunshine and rainbows. You know, there's going to be some ups and downs for sure to work through.
And some marriages don't have, they do really good for like, say, 5 years. I remember going with you to a seminar. It was a Victor Klein seminar. And it was really interesting because he said he was a counselor, psychologist. And he was like, some marriages literally are bliss. So all marriages go through ups and downs, but literally some people can get married and live blissfully for 5-6 years or whatever. You're going to come to an impasse somewhere. Some people, like for us, our first year was probably a little harder as we kind of navigated getting used to each other and our different personalities and styles.
Even though we came from both from wonderful homes with wonderful parents with the same beliefs and everything, there was still so much to navigate. Mm.
What were some like that you guys can remember? Like, what were some like if you're, you know, your kids were listening to this and they just got married, like what advice do you tell them about the first year of marriage from your experience?
Probably the biggest thing that probably struck us, but we didn't figure it out for like 4 or 5 years, was just understanding each other's personality style. Mm. And we were big on reading books on marriage, on going to seminars, like she said, Victor Klein. Mm-hmm. And there was a seminar coming up that I wanted to go to, and my work would pay for it. And I told Tammy about it. It was a personality one on the color code from Taylor Hartman.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to go to that. I thought that would be interesting. She says, I'd like to go to that too. So I bought her a ticket on our own money, and my company paid for me. And we went, and that was really an eye-opener for us. Hmm. Because all of a sudden, he has us take a little test, and then we put up our color. I was yellow. She was blue. And then he starts talking about the different personalities. He starts with the red, and then he goes to mine, and he's telling all the great things about my personality. And I'm getting all, you know,
yeah
that's me. I'm the man, you know. And then he starts talking about all the weaknesses. Mm. I was going to say defects, but the weaknesses. And I start sinking lower in my chair, and Tammy's going, that's why you do that. So all of a sudden, I could see a light go off in her that, hey, that's part of who he is. Mm. You know, not that we want to accept our weaknesses,
right,
but those are something, that's something he needs to work on. And then he got to her in the blue and talks about strengths, and we're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden he starts talking about her weaknesses, and I'm going, that's why you do what you do, you know. And we really learn to kind of accept and understand that our spouse isn't perfect.
Yeah.
And neither are we.
We kind of learn to embrace each other's strengths. You know, I think that's a really huge key, is embrace each other's good points.
And that's the same thing that needs to be taught everywhere in leadership and everything. Embrace your employees' strengths. Don't focus on their weaknesses. The same with your spouse. The same with your children. Everybody knows their weaknesses. If we focus on their strengths, it'll kind of overcome those weaknesses, I think.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
I really love that. I think a lot of people expect that when they get married, that it's just going to be so easy, or that because you dated them, you know everything about them. And I love that you said even a few years into marriage, you're learning about each other, right? And I think that's important for anyone who's considering marriage. Get to know each other as best you can and make a decision based on faith that you're going to be right for each other. And then once you've decided, there's going to be hard things, but you can focus on the good and it'll be okay. It'll work out. But I think that's important to know.
Absolutely.
I think it's a perfect segue into the topic of listening, because in order to really know your spouse and understand them, you have to be able to listen to them and like ask good questions and kind of get to know them. So tell us your journey with listening. What role has listening played in your marriage and your life, and kind of lead us into like the hug and roll?
Well, I'll never forget one Father's Day. Tammy got me a Father's Day present, and it was a book. And I opened the book up, and it was What Wives Expect from Husbands by Jorgensen. And I'm going, oh, so you're saying I need to read this so I can be a better husband? She just kind of smiles and laughs at me. And so I said, I'll read it. I'm going to read it. So I read it. And at the end, it says, we have another book, What Husbands Expect from Wives. So guess what she got for her birthday? So, but as we compared the two books, and we'd actually read them together. And the one thing I thought was really interesting in their books, they said the top 10 most important things to a man in a relationship, top 10 most important things to a woman. And what do you think number one was on a woman's list?
I'd say being heard or being appreciated.
Yeah, it's listening. It's communication is what they said in the book. Now, it's in the top 10 on a man's list, but it's number one on a woman's list. Mm. And that kind of struck me. I'm going, okay, communication is about, I had in college, I took communications classes because I was in broadcast news. So in the communications class, it says it's really listening and understanding is the highest level. Mm. Understanding is the highest level of listening. And there's so many of us that don't listen.
Yeah.
And I fall into that trap sometimes when it's about what I want and I'm focused on me, my listening is terrible. Mm. It's really poor. And Tammy would actually bring that to my attention once in a while. And I would say, yeah, I got to get better at that. And I think it's kind of a guy thing to not listen, especially when we're in an argument.
Because
you know what we do when we're in an argument? They're talking. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say, not listening to what they're saying. That's the biggest problem right there. Leaders do that to their people. Mm. I mean, it's just, that's just the main problem. So listening is huge.
Do you remember the other book that I got you? It was an audio tape from Costco. It cost me $5. I just got it as a stocking stuffer, but it was Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus.
Yeah, that's an old book. That's been around. That's a great book though.
Have you heard that?
I've heard of it. I never read it though.
So the example that goes with that. So I, like David Tillman, didn't think about it again. He was a salesman. He'd go to carpet stores and he listened to it. And one time I was having, a really hard day, and he came home and he listened to me. We were standing in the bedroom and he was listening to me. And then he just gave me this hug and just held me. And I pulled away after a few minutes and said, that's exactly what I needed. And he says, well, I learned that from Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, that men sometimes try to fix the problem. So they try to listen and then they try to fix it. And that you women don't always want us to fix the problem. Sometimes you just want to be heard. So sometimes we want to be listened to. And then he was just perfect. He just hugged me. Just stood there and hugged
me. It is so hard as a guy to not want to fix whatever's going on. And so I decided what that taught me was, look, start with a hug first. And if she wants a fix, she'll tell you later. And that's, I couldn't believe a hug would solve it. I just can't believe that.
But it works. Awesome. I think Allie and I know some of us might be thinking like, oh, I don't have that problem. Like I don't ever try to fix it, try to listen. I know that like Allie and I will have those discussions where work even happens to me too, where I'll be talking to her, telling her my problems, and she'll start trying to solve my problems. Like, Allie, I don't want you to solve them. Just listen to me. You know, it's like sometimes that's all it takes, just saying, hey, like, I just need you to listen first. Like, just hear me out. Just let me kind of get this off my chest before you like kind of jump in. And then if you want your problem solved, then say, hey, I need some help with something and you're looking for a solution. But kind of sometimes saying it straight at the beginning can help.
Yeah. I think that's helped us because, yeah, I think it goes both ways. A lot of times the husband will want to fix problems, but sometimes the wife does too, right? I think it's human nature. But I think having an understanding that, like, if one of us starts to try to fix each other's problems, we can communicate that and say, that's not what I need right now. Because not everyone is as amazing as Kirk and will just know exactly what to do all the time and go for the hug. And, you know, so sometimes if you feel like your spouse isn't responding the way you want them to, I think it's important that you just let them know, well, this is what I need right now.
Okay, let's get something straight now. I don't always know what to do. Okay. I mean, I'm happy if I get it right 50% of the time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I always love listening to business guys and real successful businessmen. And they say if they get it right 49% of the time, they're happy in the business. So I'm going to go for 1%.
Yes. I love it. Definitely.
So for the couples out there who are listening to this podcast, what are some ways that they can practice like their listening skills? How can they get better at listening? And because I feel like that's not something that people really like think about. Like, how do I practice my listening? They're just kind of like, oh, listen. You know, it's like, what are some ways we can get better at listening?
Probably the best thing that Tammy and I have learned actually came to me because actually a brother-in-law and I decided to start our own training company. And we both brought different information to the training company. And he brought this something that he had learned. I don't know where he learned it, but it's probably been, so I learned this in 97. And it's probably been one of the greatest things I've learned. It's really a technique on how to be a better listener. And we call it the hug and roll. And we would teach it to salespeople in the aspects that, hey guys, if you do this, if you practice this at home, it will help you with your skills while you're working with customers at work that you're selling to, but it will also help your married relationship. And so we would teach this process to them. And here's how the process goes. It's when you go home and you're getting ready to walk in the house and maybe your spouse is there before you, maybe she's comes home after you, whichever the case may be. As soon as you make that connection with her or him, I mean, it could be go either way. As soon as you make that connection, you stop thinking or focus on anything else and you think in your mind, empathy, empathy, empathy. I just want to listen to my spouse and understand where he or she is in their mind, what they're thinking about, what they may be struggling with, what they may be happy about, it, whatever it is. And you use a specific process to do this. And so you mirror them. If they're busy doing something, you do it with them. If they're sitting down, you sit down. If they're standing up, you stay standing up. If they have their arms folded, you fold your arms, whatever it is. And you quack with them. It's an acronym. It stands for question, answer, connect. So you ask him or her a question. He or she will give you an answer. And that's the Q and the A, question, answer, and the connect is really the key because you do not try to connect by saying, oh, I understand that because of this. No, you ask simply another question based on their answer. So it can take you down a road of discovery in what's going on with him or her. Like for us, I'd come home and I'd say something like, hey, so Tammy, how's your day gone today? And she'll say, I've had a pretty good day. Well, what was your biggest struggle? She'll tell me something. Mm-hmm. And then I ask her another question based on her answer. The key is that it has to be based on the answer.
Yeah.
Like she tells me, oh, you know, I went to lunch with a friend. And I go, oh, who'd you go to lunch with? See, that's how you continue. What'd you guys talk about? And you just keep going down whatever road that is that she's leading you down by her answers. And you do that for 15 minutes. 15 minutes. And then you can give your spouse a hug and do whatever you want the rest of the night.
So it's called the hug and roll.
That's why it's called, yeah, roll to the couch. You can roll to the couch, watch TV. You know, for us guys, it's watch TV, read the newspaper, or go work on our hobby. So that would be, or their man cave was what, you know, I think that's set out there in one of the books we read. But what's interesting is what that does is it creates understanding. It creates, he cares about me. So I learned this and I thought, well, I'm going to go practice it on Tammy without telling her. So for the next year, we did the hug and roll. Hopefully we've been doing it the rest of our life, but we, that 1 year was really emphasized. Mm-hmm. And after a year, Tammy, what'd you say to me?
Well, we had moved to Georgia. So we'd lived here in Utah and then we moved to Georgia with four kids. And so all I could figure out is that since our move to Georgia, I just felt more understood, but I didn't know why. But as he tells the story, he'll probably tell you the rest of the story, but he just listened to me more. He was more in tune to my needs. And that literally was just from him showing me that he cared. Like, I guess it's weird for me to think back on, to tell you the truth. I just remember feeling happier and more content.
Then she came to one of my classes when I was teaching it.
He loves to tell us stories.
She comes in and I'm going, I'm not going to tell this class what I'm about to hug and roll, or Tammy will know. But I couldn't not tell him. So I did. And Tammy's like, you could see the look in her eye, like, aha. And the guy next to her says, so does he do that with you? And the look on her face told the whole class that I did. And it was just really a cool experience. So I thought, that's it. I can't do it anymore. So we went home. I went 2 or 3 days without doing it. And she goes, hey, buddy, where's my hug and roll band? I expect a half hour tonight instead of 15 minutes. Or I need to quack for 45 minutes. She uses all my acronyms. I'm going, this is wrong. But so we do it now. She'll say, hey, we need to quack for a while. And so we just jump right into it. And it makes all the difference in the world. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean we're perfect at it, but I'm telling you, it's a simple process to communicate at a much higher level. And this is the thing we got to realize. And I relate this to everything I teach. Nothing you learn does you any good unless you practice it.
Yeah.
You can learn how to lift weights, but until you get really good at lifting weights, your muscles don't grow. And you stop lifting weights, what happens to your muscles?
They shrink.
The atrophy. And same thing is true in a marriage relationship. Same thing is true in any relationship. Same thing is true in anything you want to do. You want to get better at, strengthen your testimony, whatever. It has to be focused on consistently, and it has to be worked.
Yeah.
And it has to be practiced. And there's no end to how good we can get.
I love that. I think, like, you know, for me personally, I haven't been as good about like consciously doing it as maybe I should have been. But just one example for us, like just on the drive over to this interview, I was talking to Allie, asking her about her classes and stuff like that. And it's just, for me, it's just fun to like hear like the different sides of your spouse, like to see like how she is or how they are when you're not around, on like just like understanding them and like how they're thinking and how they're seeing the world and kind of getting into their mind. It helps me feel more love and like more understanding and like almost like pride, like, oh, that's my wife, like she's awesome. You know, like it's just kind of a fun thing for me to like learn them, to get to know them better and see their personality and kind of have those experiences.
Yeah. I remember Nathan did the same thing. He didn't tell me that he was going to try the hug and roll. And he came home one day, and this is like a month after we had our baby, who I'm holding right now. So if you've been hearing weird noises, it's Rosie. She's talking. But he came home one day, we connected, right? And he starts asking me all these questions. And I had been going through something after having a baby, and I didn't realize how I was feeling, but he just starts asking me all these questions and just listening and just connecting. I didn't know that I needed it, but he, like, eventually I kind of broke down in tears because he had kind of gotten to the root of my problems that I didn't even know. My baby's about to break down in tears. But it was really amazing how powerful those 10 or 15 minutes. I was just hurrying and eating my dinner. We had to go somewhere. But him just listening so intently. Nathan's always been great about that. But just he didn't ever say anything other than more questions about what I was saying and just let me talk and just listened. And I didn't know that I needed that day, but it was like a total breakthrough for us. And so I know that works. And I think... if more couples did that, we'd be in a lot better place. Yeah. So
that's awesome. You know, there's some statistics. These statistics were back in around 2000. So it's probably worse today. And the statistics are that married couples usually spend about 20 minutes a week in focused communication. I mean, no wonder divorce rate's so high. I mean, focused communication. I mean, we're talking 15 minutes a day, which is still not that much, but it makes all the difference in the world. And here's the one that scares me the most. The average parent spends less than 10 minutes a week in focused communication with each one of their children. And there's no generation gap if you have that communication on a daily basis. And we learned that with our children, that it was huge when, even when we were upset with them for something they did, or they freaked out in front of us or whatever the situation, and yelled at us or something like that. And then we sent them up to the room. We'd find it if we would go up and sit down with them and just try to understand them and talk to them like an adult, you know, just talk to them.
Again, it goes to someone's more open to your influence when they feel understood. Mm-hmm. So we're talking even a 7-year-old child, of course, 12-year-old, 15-year-old teenager.
But you got to start early. I mean, it helps to start early.
Something else that I think really benefits is I feel like our children learned how to communicate a lot more than per se, like I even knew how to communicate as an adult, because I was really shy and would prefer to just be more quiet. And so I feel like several of our children were very shy, but because of the hug and roll, which that's the term we mm-hmm. use for it, but they learned to communicate more. So they learned to be listened to, and then they learned to express their feelings, and then we would connect back with them. And so I think it's, yeah, in relationships, but also as you raise your children.
Yeah, I'll never forget one time we just finished family home evening. We all jumped up to go into the kitchen to get a treat. And how old was Spencer? Seven. He was seven. And he just freaked out. And so I got mad at him. Yeah, I think it's somewhere between 5 and 7. But I got mad at him, sent him to his room because he was just freaking out. I'm going, you just destroyed the spirit that we had developed from family home.
I don't think you said that out loud.
No, I didn't. I thought that to myself. He went up to his room and Tammy stopped everybody from getting dessert. And she looks at me and she goes, we'll have dessert after Dad works it out with Spencer. And she looks at me and looks upstairs. I'm going, So I head upstairs and I knock on his door and he won't say anything. So I open the door and he turns his back to me sitting on the bed. And I sit down. I said, Spencer, I'm not mad at you anymore. I'm sorry. I got upset, but I'm going to stay here with you until we can. And when you're ready, let's talk about why that happened. And he was dead silent. This kid is stubborn. 20 minutes. I laid back on the bed and was almost asleep. And finally he's moved and he said, Dad. And I popped right back up and I said, yes. He says, have they had dessert? I go, no, Mom's not letting anybody get dessert till we come down. And then I just waited. And he said, you know, Dad, just once, I would like to get dessert first. I'm going, that's it? I mean, that's easy. I says, well, let's go down and you can get in the front of the line and I'll talk to the other kids. And he goes, okay. So we went downstairs and I said to the other kids, I says, I just pictured him, you know, as the kids jump up, he's the littlest one. He just kind of pops out the backside. And I said to the other kids, I says, do you guys mind if from now on after for home evening, we give let Spencer get dessert first. We don't care. And so they actually made a big deal about it. And it changed everything. Hmm. Big deal.
Well, he felt understood.
Yeah. I even forgave him for slamming his bedroom door.
That's awesome. Well, what I love what you said, Tammy, too, about how this year had gone by where you guys were kind of just doing this thing and you just were thinking about it. You just felt happier. Like you just felt better. And I feel like 15 minutes a day, like there's no better like time investment than just like having like more happiness and more joy like within your home and just feeling understood. Like I love
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
We feel cared about. Yeah. I mean, it's when someone listens and truly cares, mm-hmm. It's huge.
I've been reading the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I'm sure most people, if you haven't, you should definitely read it. But that's all about this. It's just everyone wants to feel appreciated. Everyone wants to feel like they're important. Everyone wants to feel heard. And that's how people feel loved, like everybody. So just being willing to be that person to show that love, listen to someone, take interest in their life, you know, give them compliments, praise, those things are going to go so far.
Absolutely. You know, and just make a game out of it. Talk to people and get them to teach you something you don't know. Mm. So you learn something new as well.
Yeah.
People you don't. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
Big deal.
Well, I know we got to kind of get close to wrapping up here, but any other like last piece of advice from you guys, you know, whether it's about listening, whether it's about marriage in general, getting ready for marriage, what are some of the lessons you guys have from us, some of your wisdom?
I would say the thing that I think has been a gift in our marriage is when I stopped looking for the letting the weaknesses interfere. And when I just started to recognize all the strengths in my wonderful partner, our Heavenly Father does that for us. And we need to do that for each other. And as we pray and ask for that guidance and help, it's just amazing how, don't you think that's been?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And forgiveness, it goes.
And recognizing that your marriage isn't like somebody else's marriage. My husband is not like my dad. So for a long time, I wanted him to be my dad. I adored my dad. My dad was a wonderful dad. And when I just finally realized he doesn't have to be my dad's personality. As a matter of fact, if I would have married someone like my dad, I wouldn't have been as happy of a marriage. You know what I mean? I needed someone like my wonderful Kirk with his personality. So I think that's a huge thing for me, is just to recognize their strengths, build on that. And it doesn't mean that you put your head in the sand over their weaknesses, because they're there. We all have weaknesses. What we truly want to do is become a character person when we take on the strengths of all the different personalities, like the color code, the four different personalities. But anyway, I think that would be my bit of advice.
Probably. I also think of the book, The Five Love Languages, which is really a popular book out there. And we read that, what, about 8 years into marriage?
Yeah, that's an awesome
and book. It just added to everything you were doing. It's just that whole idea that you constantly work on it. Mm. And
speak each other.
Yeah. Learn to speak each other's language, learn to understand each other at a higher level. And it never ends. It can always get better. And that's the challenge, but that's also the exciting part of it. That keeps a marriage alive as well. But you have to fight for it. It doesn't come as a free gift, a great relationship and love. And I go back to the song, the old country song. I finally got Tammy into country music when we moved to Georgia. And I love this old song from Clint Black. What's the name of it, Tammy?
Love is something you do.
Yeah, love is something you do. Not something you feel, it's something you do.
Or just doesn't just happen.
Yeah, you got to make it happen. Yeah. So
that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Allie. We want to hear from you. Tell us.
Well, I just appreciate you two so much for all of your wisdom. I think you're a perfect example of how your love can grow. And when you're dating is really fun and relationships are really fun. But once you get married, it gets tough. But I think that marriage, I don't drink wine, but I've heard that wine gets better with age. Good cheese gets better with age. I think marriage is the same, right? I think that as you get older, if like Kirk said, if you fight for your marriage, because it's never going to be easy, but if you fight for it, it'll get easier and better and more beautiful and more complicated in the best way. And you'll learn more about each other and grow together and so much love. And so marriage is a beautiful, amazing gift that I'm so grateful for. And I think that as we look forward to that opportunity to grow our marriage and to grow together in love, we can cultivate a beautiful relationship. So
that's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. We want to invite all of you out there to try out the hug and roll, whether you're dating somebody or you're just at home with your parents or a sibling or roommates or whoever. Just practice it and just see the effect that you have, and just take note of that. Like, those practicing those things now, especially before you're married or even if you're after you're married, it's just going to make the biggest difference in your marriage. As long as you get into these habits of asking honest questions, genuine questions, getting to know people, getting to understand them, where they're coming from, it'll make a huge, huge difference for you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much. We really, really appreciate you guys. It's been a huge honor.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Hey, we'll see you guys next week.
All right. Bye.